There I was, lost and alone.
Reality was dismal, a life not my own.
Each day empty of hope, but full of anxiety.
Waking in fear, filled with uncertainty.
Nowhere to turn, no one to call.
Not one who will rise up to be there when I fall.
But God.
When I was a little boy.
When I was a little girl, I had dreams of one day impacting our world.
Moved by a purpose, cause, or significance.
I wanted to be that one, they said.
Made a difference.
I've tried so hard, but seemed to always fail.
I'm not doing well. Can't you see I'm quite frail?
Everyone around me is enjoying success.
And I'm here drowning in my self-made mess.
I know it's time to change, for today's a new day.
But no one around to guide me, to show me the way?
But God.
A man told me God sent his son for you and for me.
Not just give me life, but life more abundantly.
For God created time, the beginning and the end.
But wants a relationship with you, for he calls you his friend.
John 3:16 says, God loves you, and you are worth his life.
Which is why Jesus died and became the ultimate sacrifice.
Not because of what you've said, done, or what you've accomplished.
But because of his great grace, he provides what he's promised.
For he is knowable, relatable,
remarkable, and unshakable.
For his existence is persistence, and you hearing this is no coincidence.
For he is wonderful, counselor, mighty God, and Father,
forgiver, healer.
And like him, there is no other.
I said, but wait.
Does he know I've cheated, robbed, lied, and abandoned?
Does he know me, the real me? I'm not a good man.
I've done things and said things to hurt many people.
I don't see how he can love me.
For in my eyes, I'm evil.
He said, but God
sent
Jesus.
He was pierced for our transgressions,
crushed for our iniquities.
Upon him was the punishment that brought us peace.
And by his wounds,
we are healed.
Today is your day of salvation. No longer lost in sin,
Jesus stands at the door of your heart,
knocking, asking to come in.
I went from hopelessness to hope,
from hurt to healed,
from brokenness to be made whole. In me, Christ is revealed.
I used to be the person
many said was flawed.
But now when they say, why the difference?
My story is my response.
And it begins with.
And it begins with.
And it begins with.
And it begins with.
But God.
Happy Easter to all of you. Welcome to our service here this morning. I wanted to just give you a word about how our service is going to be different this morning and encourage you to participate with us today. We wanted to be very responsible in the social distancing mandate that's been given to us. So instead of inviting even just a few people out to record or to stream live a service to you this morning, we've invited a number of different families to participate in our service. And each of them have recorded their part of the service from their home. And so as you hear and see all this morning, just know that everyone has recorded their part of the service from their home and their regular surroundings, and then we've put it together to share with you today. So we pray that this will be a great blessing to you and to your family, and may you have a very blessed Easter. God bless.
Happy Easter!
What does Easter mean to you?
What does Easter mean to you?
Easter, when Jesus died and rose again.
Easter to me means celebrating Jesus' resurrection.
I think it means to me Jesus comes back alive.
What Easter means to me is that I have a risen Savior.
God dies and comes back.
Easter is about rising again.
Who's rising again?
Jesus.
Easter is a great time to get together with our families and remember how Jesus rose from the dead and gave us eternal life.
What Easter means to me is remembering that Jesus died on the cross to forgive us our sins so that we may enter the kingdom of heaven with him.
So
Easter means to me about Jesus having enough glory to rise from the dead and save us all from our sins.
And him dying for our sins and giving us the chance to live.
Jesus died for my sins and rose again.
Why do we celebrate that?
Because he does everything good for us.
And for giving us eternal life.
Two things that come to mind for me when I think of Easter. Number one is salvation and how God sent his son to die for our sins and the power of his resurrection.
And all we need to do is ask him into our hearts and ask for forgiveness.
And how without that, none of us have a future. And how we can just rely on him because he's so powerful in what he did for us.
Easter means new spring fashions. But really, Easter means God is alive, and he gives me peace that passes all understanding.
And I know with Jesus on our side that we will overcome this pandemic and all the negative.
Easter reminds me of these verses in 1 Peter. For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light.
He is risen!
He is risen indeed!
Happy Easter, First Church. We miss you.
Silly rabbit, Easter is for Jesus.
Happy Easter, everyone. We're the Hildebrands. I'm Alex, the associate pastor here at First Church. This is my wife, Emily.
Hi, good morning.
This is our 2-year-old daughter, Genevieve. And a lot of you are going to see our newborn for the first time, Zoe Anna. She's a month old. We want to welcome you this morning to First Church's Easter service. We know that this isn't the typical Easter service. Even though we can't gather together physically, we're still thankful that we can gather together over the internet. You know, Jesus said that his followers are to worship in spirit and in truth. Even though we're not together physically and we're in our own homes, we can still worship together and have true worship by worshiping in spirit and in truth. You know, as we gather together to sing songs of praise, to hear the reading of God's word, to hear teaching on it, to pray together, and to take communion together, you're doing that with all of your brothers and sisters in Christ, not just from First Church, but you're unified with your Christian brothers and sisters in Altoona and in Blair County and all across the world. Today is a day dedicated to remembering the resurrection of Jesus, that it's by his death and resurrection we're saved and we're given new life. We want to encourage you and invite you to actively participate in everything that we do, you know, to sing with us, to read with us, to pray with us, to hear teaching with us. In all of these things, you are not alone, but you are united with your family, the family of God. You know, we hope that this is a time of true and genuine worship all across the world, and that through all of these things, God would be honored and glorified. As you worship, you know, we hope that you would be encouraged, that you would remember you're not alone, that you would remember that you have new life in Jesus because of his victory over death. So we welcome you and we invite you to join us in worship this morning. Thank you for joining us.
There is a beautiful and powerful poem entitled, All Things Christ Suffered. Listen to these powerful words. Jesus came to deliver us from the chains we wear, from the shadows of death and shame, from prisons of despair. Jesus came to deliver us from wounds of sad woe, from depths of grief, guilt, and pain, from bonds our sins bestow. Jesus came to deliver us from powers which harm, from the kingdom of darkest night, from all things which alarm. Jesus came to deliver us from frustrated tears, from hopelessness, doubt, disbelief, from soul-tormenting fears. Jesus came to deliver us into God's great love, into a more abundant life, into a home above. Oh, praise his matchless holy name. Do not fear or fuss. Jesus, with his mighty power, came just to deliver us.
How well do you know the Easter story? Three guys were tried for crimes against humanity. Two guys committed crimes.
One guy didn't.
Three guys were given government trials. Two guys had fair trials.
One guy didn't.
Three guys were whipped and beaten. Two guys had it coming.
One guy didn't.
Three guys were given crosses to carry. Two guys earned their crosses.
One guy didn't.
Three guys were mocked and spit at along the way. Two guys cursed and spit back.
One guy didn't.
Three guys were nailed to crosses. Two guys deserved it.
One guy didn't.
Three guys agonized over their abandonment. Two guys had reason to be abandoned.
One guy didn't.
Three guys talked while hanging on their crosses. Two guys argued.
One guy didn't.
Three guys knew death was coming. Two guys resisted.
One guy didn't.
One, two, three guys died on three crosses. 3 days later, two guys remained in their graves.
One guy didn't.
Father God, thank you so much for allowing me to come to this place and just be with you, Lord. Father, as I'm here today, I just lift up this city behind me, Father, and I pray that this Easter, hearts would be moved, Lord, to just come to you, to repent and turn to you, Father God. Lord, I know this Easter is going to look different than Easter's in the past for us. But Lord, help us to take this time of separation and draw near to you. And Lord God, thank you so much for the gift of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you that through what he did on that cross and rising from the dead, Lord, that we can have the hope of eternal life with you. And for that, Lord, help us to just be so grateful and so appreciative of that, Father. Father, thank you so much for the blessings of this life. And Lord, as we go through our lives, help us to be a blessing to those around us. Father, just thank you again for this day and bless each one that receives this message that the pastor has for them this Easter Sunday. And Lord, all these things we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it.
His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint.
Then the angel spoke to the woman. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was laying."
"And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message.
And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there."
All right, let me pray for us as well. Lord, we just, we thank you. We want to worship you, God. We want to be in your presence now as we worship you. And we want Easter to be a special day where we remember the sacrifice that was made, but how you defeated the grave and how we've all overcome death by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we We want to keep that fresh in our hearts and our minds as we worship you, as we praise you, as we live our lives for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Okay, guys ready?
His hands, his feet, my Good morning. This is a very different way to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, but on behalf of the elders, it's our prayer that you and your family enjoy a very blessed Easter Sunday. Luke 24 records the resurrection of Jesus, the early morning visit of the women to the tomb, the conversation with the angels where they say he is not here. It records Peter's visit. It also records a conversation between two of the disciples as they take a 7-mile walk to Emmaus. Jesus joins them along the way, but they don't recognize him. They are amazed that their companion doesn't seem to know anything of the last day's events. Jesus is amazed that they are slow of heart and how foolish they are to believe all that the prophets have spoken in verse 25. It also records how Jesus started with Moses and explained all the scripture and the prophets to them as they walked along. In verse 28, we read the following. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he, Jesus, would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. They recognized Jesus by the breaking of bread. Scripture records Jesus breaking bread in 1 Corinthians 11, where the Apostle Paul writes this, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" On this Easter Sunday, I think the following words are most appropriate. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you and we give you thanks and we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father and receive our prayers. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High. Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Living with uncertainty can take its toll. The normal day-to-day is replaced with fear, worry, doubt. When our normal is disrupted, our surroundings begin to feel weak. Foundations begin to rattle. Our lives become disoriented. As time goes on, we begin to lose sight of the one constant on our journey. Jesus. The fear is consuming, the worry draining, the doubt painful. Even in our darkest moments, when the last thread of hope has unraveled from our being, we must dwell on truth. We must remember, no matter what is happening around us, God is still sovereign. Today, let us dwell on the truth of Easter. The stone has been rolled away. The grave has been rendered powerless. Death has transformed to life. In our fear, He is still risen. In our worry, He is still victorious. In our doubt, He is still alive. When everything seems hopeless, the hope of Easter remains.
You know, if you celebrated Easter with us before at First Church, you'll know that we kind of have a tradition there where I stand up and say, "He is risen." And you say, the congregation says together, "He is risen indeed." So let's do that together. He is risen. He is risen indeed. We're so glad that you're joining us here today on this Easter Sunday morning. And you know, I know it's difficult because we're not able to be together. But, you know, experiencing this service like we have been and we are right now with all the different families contributing, it's just a wonderful thing. And, you know, if I've heard from one person, I've heard from many people that they really miss being together. So it's good that we can be together even like this here today. I want to take just a few minutes and share with you my Easter message. And this Easter message is all about hope. It's all about hope, the hope of Easter. You know, a few minutes ago, we heard that great passage shared with us from the Gospel of Matthew, how the ladies went to the tomb on that first Easter morning and found that the stone had been rolled away. What a tremendous passage that is. I would like to add one more to that. And it's not a passage that we think about in relation to Easter very often, but it very much is along that same theme. It comes from 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 3. Listen to what it says. It says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled." Now listen to this next phrase. beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. You see, the hope that we have in Christ is beyond the reach of change and decay. You know, that's a message I think we all need to hear this Easter, that this Easter we celebrate hope. And it's a hope that's filled with a promise that God is going to be with us, that he will never leave us, he will never forsake us. It's a hope that delivers truth, the truth of the scriptures, the truth of the life in Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. It's a hope that reveals grace and mercy, his grace and his mercy for us. It's a hope that brings the forgiveness of sin. And it's a hope that gives us eternal salvation in him. Friends, this is the hope that we have because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I hope that hope is giving you a strength today. And you know what? We talk about hope and we use it in terms of we hope something is going to happen, or we hope something is going to change, and we certainly hope that we're going to be back together real, real soon. But you know, even though we're not together, we still have this beautiful hope in Jesus Christ our Lord. Matter of fact, here, let me turn a phrase for you this morning that'll be somewhat ambiguous and maybe a little bit strange, but then I think it'll mean a lot to you as we talk about this just for a few minutes. I want to talk to you today about an empty hope. Now, that's two words that doesn't seem to go together, do they? An empty hope. You know, we use the term empty and we use the term hope, but it's not two words that we use together really at all. But it applies at Easter time. Here, let me show you how. For example, you know, we have this hope in Christ that he gives us, and it's shown to us in the resurrection of his son Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have an empty hope. In other words, we see at Easter an empty cross. You know, the Bible tells us that a man named Joseph came and asked for the body of Jesus when he died, and he took him down and he placed Jesus' body in a borrowed tomb. But think about that. As he walked away from the cross was now empty. It really teaches us that the sacrifice that Jesus came to make for all of us was finished. It was accomplished. I mean, Jesus, he died on that cross, and the Bible tells us that his death and his sacrifice is what was needed so that we could have forgiveness of sins, so the price would be paid for our sins. And when they looked up and saw that empty cross, that's really what it was showing, what it was teaching, what it stood for, that Jesus, that he had to die, and that Jesus did die. And when they took him down from that cross, the sacrifice had been paid. It had been completed. So this Easter, we can celebrate an empty hope, an empty cross. We can also celebrate an empty tomb. As you heard just a few minutes ago when the passage from Matthew was shared with us, that they went to the tomb on the first day of the week, and that the stone had been rolled away. Think about that, folks. All the procedures that the Roman Empire had gone through to secure that tomb, that they had put the stone in front of the tomb, that they sealed the tomb, that they put the soldiers there to guard the tomb. But yet, Jesus Christ still came out of the tomb victorious over death. You see, that empty tomb means an awful lot to all of us that are believers in Jesus Christ. It says that they put Jesus in the tomb. They knew he was there. They secured his body there. But on the third day, he was no longer in the tomb. Think about what that must have been like for Mary and the other ladies as they prepared the spices and they came ready to anoint the body of Jesus. They wanted to treat the body with respect and with honor. They wanted to show that they loved him, that they cared for him. But then he wasn't there. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the ladies and what they discovered there on that Easter Sunday morning was a life-changing event for them. And it's been a life-changing event for all of us since then. So we come today to celebrate that empty tomb. Think about that. It says that his body was not there. Did you know that we have four different accounts of that event? And each one has its own perspective, its own peculiar slant on what happened. But all of the accounts, all of the beautiful words written about that, all have the very same fact that Jesus' body was not there, that the tomb was in fact empty. He was not there. And so we come today to celebrate an empty hope, an empty cross, an empty tomb. And let me give you one more. What I want to call it is an empty canvas. Think about what that means. You know, Jesus said to the disciples that he wanted them to go to Jerusalem and wait, and that they would receive power, and when they received the power of the Holy Spirit, they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, they were to proclaim the gospel. And think about the change that had come about to these men and women that God issued this commission to. I mean, Peter. Think about it. Peter was a loudmouth, probably cursing fisherman. And Jesus turned him into a rock and a proclaimer of the good news of Jesus Christ. I mean, James and John, they were a couple of mama's boys. But yet Jesus Christ turned them into tremendous advocates for the message of Jesus Christ. Matthew was a tax collector, and he was known for stealing from people. But Jesus gave him the message to take to people. You see, folks, everybody that met Jesus was changed. It was like their heart became a new canvas that God began to paint upon. And that he changed them in such a way that they became not just someone that was different, but everything was different. And you know what, folks? The promise is that is exactly what God wants to do for all of us today. That's what he wants the empty tomb to bring to you. He wants the empty tomb to bring us hope. Because you see, when Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, he gave us something that we all long for. And that's the knowledge that there's something beyond the grave. Have you ever thought about this? When Jesus came to the home of his friend Lazarus, when Lazarus had died, it says that Jesus wept. Why did he weep? I mean, certainly he knew that only moments from now he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. I think he wept because of everyone that was there that did not yet know of the victory that he was about to bring about in the life of Lazarus, and certainly for us all when he died and was buried and when he rose again. He wept for all of those that were grieving because they had lost Lazarus, because they did not yet understand that Christ was going to give us ultimate victory over death. I mean, I think about that all the time, and I just realize that God wants to paint a new picture on your heart. He wants to change your life in the same way that he changed the disciples and all of believers and all his followers down through the centuries to our time today. God wants to give you that as well. So this Easter, let's celebrate an empty hope, an empty cross, an empty tomb, and an empty canvas. Let's allow the victory that he paid for on the cross, a victory that he secured with his resurrection, be the brush and the paint that he uses to paint a beautiful new picture for all of us. And may we take the commission seriously and take that message to all the world, an empty hope, and knowing that it is full indeed, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads and pray with me, please? Father in heaven, thank you for this great day. And Lord, submit now this message in our hearts. And Father, may we have that empty hope. May we know that there was an empty cross, an empty tomb. May we see ourselves, Lord, as an empty canvas that Jesus Christ wants to continue to paint upon, even now, to take his message to a lost and dying world. May it be so, Father, in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. He is risen. He is risen indeed.
All around the song. Lord is risen. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you this Easter morning of 2020, and it's different. All the familiar things that usually surround this holiday celebration have changed. We miss our big family meal, or that visit to parents or grandparents, egg hunts, and all the other traditions. We will not have given that Easter greeting with handshakes and hugs. It may even seem unreal to some, and anxiety seems to be a familiar shadow. But Father, we can rest assured in the reality of Easter on this Resurrection Sunday. In that unchangeable victory, we can rest in the peace of your great love and everlasting care for each and every one of us. Grace us with your mercy and keep your presence near to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed Easter.
Hope has been an interesting word for me as of late. I hope this crisis is over soon. I hope my family stays well and safe. I hope the economy doesn't crumble. I hope I see my friends soon. There's so many personal things wrapped up inside each of those statements. You, I'm sure, are thinking of your own, I hopes. This year, Easter feels different, doesn't it? Maybe for the first time ever, I have a small, and I mean very small, feeling of what it might have been like for the disciples and the followers of Jesus. What it must have been like for them during that season of Passover. They did life with Jesus. They traveled with him. They attended synagogue with him. They heard him teach. They listened to his stories, some which they understood and many they didn't. They saw him heal, multiply food, do miracles. They might just have been getting a bit comfortable with the way their lives were going. But Jesus, he kept speaking of darker days to come. He spoke of it frequently. The disciples, they could only see the now. What they were doing now. Regardless of what they saw, the darkness came. The darkness that Jesus had spoken of often. It came. Life as they knew it stopped. Everything changed. Everything that they had counted on crumbled. In a moment, hope gone. Hope. They had been told to prepare, yet they were taken by surprise. It wasn't that they stopped loving Jesus, not at all. But they had put their hope in him, and now seemingly all hope was gone. Nothing felt certain anymore. Nothing felt certain anymore. In a short measure of time, they were separated from their family and friends. They stopped traveling. They stopped working. They didn't know how they were going to eat or live. Would anything ever be the same again? When we look at the narrative of Scripture, we can insert ourselves and wonder, what might I have been feeling? Uncertainty? Oh, so much uncertainty. Lost? What will my life look like from now on? What does this mean for me and my family? Sad? That what I knew wouldn't be any longer? Exhaustion? From following the leaders of the day who couldn't seem to agree on anything and were being swayed by the ever-changing emotions of the people. Overwhelmed by the enormity of being in the chaos and yet having no control over it. Hopeless. But Jesus, again, on that famous day, inserts himself into their lives. When they finally recognized him, they knew. They knew everything had changed. They knew they weren't just following a good teacher, a good man, a great healer. They were experiencing firsthand the hope of the world, a world that was now very different, a world where death and the grave had been permanently defeated. A world where the light had shined into darkness, where all of the previous stories made sense. A world where life had purpose because Jesus defeated death. There was now a world that needed to know. The disciples had seen hope firsthand, and they had a job to do, tell the world. And so when I choose to let Jesus insert himself into my life by recognizing the resurrection for what it was and recognizing Jesus for what he is, everything changes. Jesus the hope of the world. Praise the Lord. That hope, it changes everything.